When Eric Westlake was here a few weeks ago, I was just taken by his interactive style. It was impressive, and I'm going to try it. Don't expect another Eric. I mean, he is one of a kind. But as you see the sermon title, God Calling, this business of God's calling, it just begs your input, because God wants us to interact with him and with one another in the kingdom work. Back in October, one of the last times I was bringing the message, I talked to you about needing everyone to participate in the workings of our church. And since then, I continue wondering, how do we get to that place? And maybe you do too. So this morning, we're going to look at God's calling in all kinds of ways, all kinds of people, and see if we can help one another to recognize God's call to us. So as we begin, let's pray. Creator God, you have made each one of us to be your own, to worship and glorify you, and to be a vital part in the furthering of your everlasting kingdom. You have given every person here talents and abilities for that purpose. So lead us and guide us into the place you would have us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. First, let me ask you a simple question. How many of you, in some way, have felt a call from God to do something? Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the hands. Be thinking about that call, because later on I'm going to ask for some of you to briefly share some of those experiences. The first call we're going to look at this morning is recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is talking about Adam and Eve. They had eaten of that forbidden fruit. They knew they had sinned. They were afraid, and they had hidden themselves in the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" They had sinned. They knew it. They were afraid, and they hid. They had sinned against God, and they were rightly afraid. Is there anyone here this morning who at one time or other has wanted to hide from God? Did he let you stay hidden? I see head shaking, I see nose. Did he call you back to himself? Yeah. Praise God. He has called every one of us to to repentance and faith in Jesus. Martin Luther put it this way: I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but he has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. They're up there on the altar. And sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. Don't anyone ever forget, God has called you and me to himself. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We don't have very many kids here this morning, but I want your help. What did God call Noah to do? Build the ark. Right. Build the ark. What did God call Noah to put in the ark? Animals. I've got a little preacher right here. Who went into the ark with Noah? His family, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Right. God shut the door on the ark, and then what happened? It did. It started pouring rain. Water came from everywhere and flooded the earth. I expect that while Noah was in the process of building that ark, that he faced a lot of ridicule. Who would build this humongous ship out there on dry land? For what purpose? But because Noah was obedient and willing, he and his family were saved. Abraham. Abraham was called to do many, many things. What was the first thing that Abraham was called to do? Anybody? One little short word. Go. Exactly right. Go. He was called to leave where he was, a highly successful man, pack up and go to the land that I will show you. About that again in Genesis chapter 12. I've got so many marks in here, I hope I find them all. We'll begin in verse 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Interesting. Abraham, at this calling, was the same age as I am right now, 75. At 75, he packed up and went where God asked. He began a whole new life at that age. it would be another 25, almost 25 years before his and Sarah's son Isaac would be born. If I remember correctly, he was 99. Age is no barrier to God and his call. Moses. Ask you kids again. Moses was herding sheep out there one day, and he saw something on the side of the mountain. Do you remember what it was? Burning bush. Burning bush. A little bush was burning there on the side of the mountain, but it wasn't burned up. It was just on fire. Moses said, "Wow, I got to go see what this is." And so he walks over toward the bush, and he hears a voice. And the voice says, "Moses, take off your sandals, for you're walking on holy ground." God was in that burning bush, and he wanted to speak with Moses. What did God call Moses to do? Yep, he told him to go back to Egypt, where his people were in captivity, right? And to bring them out. Do you remember then what Moses said to God? "Can't do it." That's right. "I'm not able. I'm not able to do this." And what did God say? What was his answer? Yes, he says, God says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." When God calls us, in today's vernacular, he's got our back. What we need, he will provide. A couple of weeks ago, Gunnar read this account of Samuel's call. Samuel was dedicated to God before he was ever born. His mother says, "If I am so fortunate as to have a son, I will dedicate him to you, Lord." And Samuel was born. At a very young age, he went to live with Eli the priest, where he served Eli and served God in serving Eli. His mother would come once a year to see him, to bring him clothes that she had made for him as he grew. Mothers, how about that? Hannah had other sons as well, but she promised to God the dedication of Samuel, and she carried that out. I think it would be good to read those verses again. In Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. It happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Once again, age is no barrier to God and his call. We go on. I think of Esther, who was called to become the queen of King Ahasuerus in order to save her people, the Israelites. Her willingness and her boldness accomplished that task. And we can look at Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and many others that were called to be prophets for that one true God. They challenged rulers and spiritual leaders who were leading the people away from the truth. And these are just a few of those in the Old Testament who were called into positions of leadership. In many of these accounts, the person called did not want the position, nor did they feel qualified to undertake it. But they were obedient, and God gave them the power and the ability to serve him. The people in general were called to be faithful to God as they followed the leadership that he provided for them. And we continue into the New Testament, where there are many more people being called into God's service. Let's begin with Mary, who was a young peasant girl. What was she called to do? To give birth to the Son of God. Luke 1. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done for me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And we shouldn't forget Joseph here as well, Mary's husband-to-be. He was called to remain as her betrothed, to love, to care for, and protect Mary and Jesus. Intertwined with this account is that of Elizabeth, wife of Zechariah the priest. They were an older couple who had no children. Do you remember their story? Zechariah was promised a son who was to be named John. He would become known as John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. Now, this is an interesting part of the story. Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, went to visit Elizabeth, who was awaiting John's birth. What happened when Mary greeted Elizabeth? Yes. Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb. I think we should read that account as well. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Doesn't it kind of look to you like this was the very early calling of John? Before he was even born, he recognized the presence of his Lord Jesus. And in that, he was called to be the one who would announce the Messiah of God. Look at the variance of all the calls that we're looking at here today. And now, with the birth of Jesus, everything has changed. There's no longer a need for God to be in a burning bush or to be hidden from human view. He has clothed himself in human flesh so that he could interact and establish relationships with us. And this is what Jesus was doing as he called and gathered his disciples. These calls are interesting in their very simplicity. The Gospels each record some details about these calls, and we'll just read a few. A great deal of information, probably misinformation and speculation, was swirling around Jesus during the time of this early ministry. The men whom he called as disciples were obviously aware of what was being said about Jesus. Quite likely, at least some of them had already made up their minds that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And we'll look at Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. And at this point, Levi has a party. He gathers a crowd of his friends, probably some of his tax collector friends, who weren't very popular among the Jewish population. And they came to his reception and were at table with him, and the ruling Jews were all upset about this. Jesus here with a tax collector and some of his not very well liked friends. But what did Matthew do? He went immediately, called people around him to come and to meet this Jesus. We again look at the book of John, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 35. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purported to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So don't miss the significance of what we see in these early calls. The ones that were called immediately expand the call to family and friends. Certainly God is the ultimate caller, but the called become agents who are being used to extend God's call. In 1972, the Board of Education came to me and said, "Would you teach a class of 14-year-olds?" Joan and I had three little kids. I was milking a bunch of cows. I was farrowing a bunch of hogs. I had some steers in the feedlot. And it took me about 15 seconds to say no, I think about three times. I didn't have time. I knew I wasn't able. But most of all, I didn't want to. I didn't want to teach. I don't know if I had a bucket list at that time, but teaching would have been right down at the bottom. About 2 weeks later, my pastor called me aside. He said, "Larry, it's not the Board of Education that called you. It's not me that called you." He says, "I truly believe that God is calling you." You think my eyes came open? I had a pastor that I trusted. He wouldn't tell me something that he didn't fully believe. He'd been praying, and God was calling. After 1972, I've taught almost continuously from that time. It's one of the greatest blessings that ever came into my life. I wasn't able, but God was. My mom is 99 and a half. Quite often she says, "I don't know why I'm still here. I could be with Jesus." And I tell her the same thing every time. God still has something for you to do. She's been a prayer warrior for many, many, many years. Her prayers followed me halfway around the world. She thought I was going to be a pastor. She was close to right. Now, many years ago, Ron Smith and I were deacons together here. As brothers in Christ, we became quite close friends. It seemed to me that God had plans for Ron. I mentioned that to his wife, Michelle, one day. She said, oh, yes. She felt the same way. So we agreed that we would pray for Ron, that he would hear and respond to God's call. As we know, it's Pastor Ron at Singsas Church. We're called to pray for one another. Sometimes we can be the last to realize our own call, but we can see the potential in somebody else. Early on, I asked you to think about your call into God's service. I would like some of you to briefly share that experience. I've already tapped one fellow who is your new deacon.
I would just start out by saying we really don't know what the voice of God sounds like, because I think it's different for everybody. I know when I received the call, I was at work and answered the phone and said hello, and it was like
David.
You know, it's like, oh,
it's Bill Buck.
You know, he kind of sounds like the voice of God sometimes, nice and deep. But you know, and he asked me if I would be willing to serve as deacon, and to be honest with you, that really scared me, because I know how important that is to this church. I know at other churches it's kind of who gets the short straw that ends up being the deacon. And so, you know, I really was very uncomfortable saying yes. I said, I'll give you, you know, give me some time to think about it and pray about it. And, you know, and going home and talking to my wife, you know, I was like, I just don't think I'm qualified for this, you know. I don't think I'm ready for this. And in her wisdom, she said, well, I don't think you have to be qualified. God's qualified to do it. So if I let him do it through me, then I think everything will be okay. So I would say, you know, there's a lot of people in here, you know, the voice of God sounds different. You know, this morning it sounded like Jan Mobley, you know, in Sunday school. And sometimes it sounds like Miss Olson, you know, telling you what to do than singing. You know, it's a little sassier, but it still sounds like the voice of God. You know, so I would say that, you know, I spent a lot of my life going, you know, I never hear from God. I want to hear what God says. And he was talking through me through a lot of different people. So, anyway.
Okay, David. We got to have a little fun with this too, don't we? I was sitting there thinking, you know, I don't recall when I was a young child girl. I don't recall that I thought God was calling me, but I know now that he was. I lived near Rutland, on a farm near Rutland, and my folks did not attend church, so I had never been to church service. And they called me and asked me if I would play for church. I was 13 years old, and I'd been playing the piano since I sat down when I was 7 and started playing, but I didn't read notes on the piano at all. So I had to go and play for church just by knowing what that hymn sounded like. But I honestly do believe that it was God's call, and here I am still doing it. And I'm hoping I can do it until I no longer can breathe, you know. So, but David was very nice when I asked him to sing. I'll have to give him credit for that. He's a pretty good guy. And I know there's others out there of you who could talk about how God has called you for what he wants of you. Well, I know what he wants of me, and I just do it. So thank you for allowing me to do that.
Thank you, Shirley.
3 years ago, last month, I was approached by Linda Buck to be a nominee for the deacon, and I looked around and I said, "Are you talking to me?" And she says, "Yes, I am," and she says, "I feel you would be a good candidate to be the deacon of this church," and I just said, "I have no leadership qualities. I've never done anything as far as part of church, as far as being a leader." And she says, well, I want you to think about it. And I says, well, I'll think about it and pray about it. So that Sunday night and Monday morning, it was Monday night, I prayed to God. I says, I need a sign. If you want me to do this, I need a sign. It's got to be pretty obvious. Well, that Tuesday morning, on the Christian radio station I was listening to, they talked about, if you are called to be a leader, don't be afraid. And I said to myself, Lord, there's my sign, because, you know, on a radio station that I'm listening to and that's what they're talking about, I just said, okay, I'll do it. But I just at that moment I said, Lord, you know that I don't know nothing about church, how to lead. In the last 3 years, God has opened my eyes just because I said yes. And I was more blessed by being a leader of this church than what I gave to this church, I feel. And I just want to thank God for giving me the courage to say yes. Thank you.
God doesn't make mistakes.
When I first started speaking, when God called me out to speak, the words that he gave me, and I'm going to keep this really short, is that they are always in my heart, that God never calls the equipped. He equips the called. And just like Abraham, when he said go, Abraham still has to take that first step. So take that first step when you hear God's voice. Just like Larry said, he wasn't able. I'm not able to do that. And I think I preached up here on one time. Not preached. I never preach. I speak. But I was going on the radio one day, the road one day, and this minister was talking about the saddest words he ever hears in his church is, I'm not qualified to do that. None of us are qualified. God qualifies us. So just take the first step.
A few years ago, the mission committee of the WMF, it was Helen Lightebo and Sandy Smith and me, and we saw a need among the Spanish-speaking people for Bibles. And as a result of doing that, God opened the door for us and gave us a vision that we had no vision whatsoever about that. It was definitely from God to have an outreach to the Spanish-speaking people. And we had classes for a few years to help them to learn the English language. It was such a blessing to each one of us on the committee to see the way God provided the challenge and the way, and it was way beyond anything that we had any knowledge on how to do. But the thing that we learned was the way that God gives a vision and God provides the means. And the congregation, I believe, was blessed from this. And there are still individuals that we have contact with that continue to be blessed by our congregation. And God did place the call and the vision that we had no idea anything about. And he provided the means all the way.
A few years ago, when Pastor Mark was here, it was the beginning of summer. And he said to us as a congregation, he said, Sunday school is a long ways off. It just got over with. But he said, I want you to pray about if God has something for you to do when Sunday school starts again. So me, I went home and did what I was told to do. I went home and said, God, do you have something you want me to do for Sunday school? Well, that was a mistake in my thinking, because he kept me awake many nights telling me he wanted me to work with the high school kids and he wanted me to teach Sunday school. And I wrestled with him all summer long. I wasn't qualified. I wasn't equipped. I didn't know anything. I can't read very well. I don't know how to pray out loud. I gave him every excuse night after night. Finally, I wanted some sleep, and I said, you know, God, at that time, they put a list out here on the counter to sign up. I said, I'll put my name on. I was so excited because Brent Peterson, who had taught the year before, he had his name down, and I thought, I'm off the hook. Well, it wasn't that way. Pretty soon I got a call from Joel Schneider, and he said, Sandy, what do you have in mind for this class? And I shared what God had laid on my heart, because all summer long he had been laying it on my heart to remove the 7th and 8th grade from that class, to teach them, you know, things that they were dealing with, showing them what the Bible had to say about pornography, sex, stealing, lying, whatever that the kids were dealing with. And then Joel called and told me that I had the position of teaching high school Sunday school class. You know, I wasn't equipped at all. I was scared to death. And finally I said, God, if you can use me, you have to use me and tell me and lead me. And he did, and I was blessed. So don't, whatever. Just if God calls you, respond.
Sometimes we're called to do things that we didn't expect. I was wanting to do whatever I could to serve the Lord, but I kept following my professional pursuits and make myself available to the, at that time I was with the Missouri Synod. So I completed my educational degree out in Utah, took a year at the International Cooperation Center at Bozeman, Montana, go to overseas, and I had written to the denomination that I would accept anything that they might have. Well, when I was in, I received a call from Nigeria asking if I would come over and teach at a boys' boarding school, high school, agriculture. So I said, yes, I would do that. And so I finished that out and went through the training that they had for going overseas, and we had a little trouble with our getting our visas to go to Nigeria, but they finally came through and we went in December. Well, we got there, they flew in at night. They picked us up and drove us straight through the night because some of the missionaries had lost some children and didn't want our children to get exposed. So we went up to the place where I was supposed to teach at this school. But when I, the next morning, the first thing I was told was that the school wasn't there anymore. The chiefs had lost interest and the government had withdrawn their permit. And the man I was talking to was the maintenance man on the field, and he says, by the way, I'm leaving in 3 weeks and not coming back. Here's what you can do. So with all of that, I had to find housing for the missionaries and provide for their physical needs. That meant being in charge of their automobiles, building. If I couldn't find a house to rent in the village and refurbish, building a house from scratch, which means you get ladies that'll bring up sand from the river and pile on the bank, and then get a truck to pull it in and drive it to the place where we're going to make the concrete blocks, and in order to, so that's what I did for 3 years. But God had other plans, and my wife's health wouldn't allow us to return to the field. So he used us for a time in that. And so I'm just mentioning sometimes things don't work out like you think they will, but God's still in charge. That was the birth of the program now that we call Lutherans Bible Translators. So it was those missionaries on the field that developed that one. I know we have Bible translators, but this is the Lutheran one.
I don't think there's any question that there's been a number of calls on Bob's life. I think of the many, many students at SDSU that Bob has touched it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, things don't always go just the way you think, but God provides. Think back to that first class of mine. Susie is part of that class. God gave me that class. I never had another one like it. They were special. They were absolutely special. My baby sister was in that class. And that cemented me into that call. So the takeaway from today is this. Doesn't matter whether that call comes from the Board of Ed, a still small voice, a Bible verse, the nominating committee, a sermon, whatever it might be, consider it seriously. Pray about it. Someone very likely has been praying over you. If God is seeking to use you, that's significant. You will not feel adequate. None of us do, because none of us are. We are completely dependent on God's promise. I will be with you, and He will be. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Pray with me, please. Father in heaven, open our hearts and our minds to your calling. It might be that all-important call to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It might be the call into some area of service. Whatever it is, Lord, lead us and guide us into your will for our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.